As we talk about this morning, hospitality and evangelism, I want this to be really interactive. So we're going to kind of look at three things. We're going to define what hospitality is and is not. Then we're going to look at how hospitality can be valuable. And lastly, we're just going to get really practical on, you know, how we can use hospitality and evangelism. So the first thing is defining biblical hospitality. Before we can say what it is, I think it's important that we establish what hospitality is not. I think there is a lot of confusion in our day and age about what hospitality is. And if we're confused and feel guilty that we're not doing certain things because we have an improper view of hospitality, it can really cripple us. So what are some things that you might think about, even within the church or without in the culture? People say hospitality, what do they often mean?
Food.
Food, yep. Can that be a part of hospitality?
Yes.
Thank the Lord, yes, right? Is that hospitality, just eating together? Not necessarily. What are some other things people think about when they think hospitality?
Have them over your house.
Okay.
Open door.
An open door.
Warm and inviting.
Okay. What else? Anyone ever have somebody be like, when they talk about hospitality, it's this formal, fancy get-together where, like, you pull out the fine china, you pull out the crystal ware, and, like, that's hospitality. Is that hospitality?
Not necessarily.
Not necessarily. It can be.
To that person.
It certainly can be, but if we're thinking hospitality means you are very formal, very fancy, I have never done hospitality. Like, I don't do that. I think some things that it's not just formal entertaining. Don't think hospitality equals sign entertaining. Why is that something we should say is not in and of itself hospitality?
Because it's not biblical.
Okay.
It's like checking the box. Look at me, you know, like, trying to check the box to say I've done all these good things. I think hospitality is part of the Holy Spirit and being open. We have to have hospitality as a person, and then we do the actions by what the Spirit says. Tends to be, in our world, it's the action reflects on the person. We should be hospitable people.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, so let's not just think of it as a formal kind of, like, event. Mm-hmm. Somebody said it's not just having people over. That certainly can be hospitality, but if we're just defining it as come over to my house, I think we have too narrow a view of hospitality. You can do hospitality outside of your house or apartment. You can do hospitality at work. You can do hospitality in a lot of different ways. Let's just not narrow it. Any other things you think that it's not? It's okay if you don't have any more, but just any other thoughts? Okay.
Somebody. Well, it's not, because I think some people think you have to be hospitable and happy and put on a good face. Like, I think you can be back doing the dishes and the hospitality and, like, oh my God, you know, like, or I shouldn't say oh my God, but anyway, you know, it's like, it's okay to just be normal.
Ah, yeah.
You don't have to be.
It's not a show.
Oh, I'm the Miss Hospitality.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not a show.
It's a, right. That's
yep.
A great word.
Yep. All right, so we'll say now what it is. This is my wife's definition, so it's much better than anything I could come up with. It's nice and simple. Extending the welcome of Christ to others. Hospitality is extending the welcome of Christ to other people by faith. Extending the welcome of Christ to others by faith. So how has Christ welcomed you?
One more time, I'm sorry.
That's okay. Extending the welcome of Christ to others by faith. Has he welcomed you? We say yes, right? So how has he done that?
By making a way for us to be a part of his family.
He's brought us into his family. So he's made us sons and daughters. He's brought us, there's a family nature to his welcome, okay? When did he welcome you? Did he wait till you were all cleaned up, presentable, right? When did he welcome you?
While we were
Well, sinners, right? His enemies, as we were, right? Okay? So we're welcoming others. We're saying Christ is a welcoming Savior. God is a welcoming God. He invites in, and when he welcomes in, it's a family-like welcome. And why do we add by faith? We're saved by faith. We live by faith, right? But why specifically define hospitality with the word faith? Kate, this is your definition. Why add the word by faith?
Because it feels insignificant to just host dinner or to just invite someone over for something feels insignificant. But God tells us to do it, so he must have a bigger purpose for it. And so we trust him, walk by faith in something that feels small.
Yeah. How many people, you don't have to raise your hand, this is something you can just think about inside. How many people have been hurt by the church, right? For you, maybe saying, having somebody in my house, that's a big step. Well, that's a step of faith. How many people are like, I don't know these people. What are they going to think about when they come in my house? That's a step of faith. We have children. In my mind, I don't know, I can't speak for my wife. I'm always like, what are they going to think of my kids? What if my kids don't act well? That's a step of faith. Right? So hospitality is extending the welcome of Christ to others by faith. Next thing I want to say about what hospitality is that there are two kinds of hospitality. They're going to overlap, but I think it's important that we make the distinction because it's going to have a different feel to both. So number one, there's Christian hospitality, brother to brother, sister to sister. Somebody want to open your Bibles to Romans chapter 15, verse 7. And then while someone's taking that, I'll take 1 Peter 4, verse 9. So Romans 15, verse 7, when you get there, just read it, and I'll read 1 Peter 4, 9.
Therefore, accept one another, just as Christ also accepted you to the glory of God.
So accept one another. Some translations say what?
Welcome
one another, right? I'll read 1 Peter 4, 9. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. What word did you see that was similar? What phrase was similar in both of those verses?
One another.
One another. Who's the one another? Who are we one anothering in these texts? This is a believer to what? Believer. These are commands for the church. There is a type of hospitality that is Christian to Christian. This is going to have the feel of family dinner, right? We're saying hospitality is not just food, but this is going to have the idea of family, right? It's brothers and sisters. When we do this, it's a picture of the welcome that we've both experienced. Christ has welcomed me as a son when I was once an enemy of his. Christ has welcomed you when you were once a sinner and now made you either a son or a daughter. And as we know that welcome, we express that when we open up our lives and open up our homes to one another. And that's a picture and that's a relationship that non-believers can't understand. So when we do hospitality one to another in the church, it's a picture. We're showing something about the gospel to each other that we both get, that we both understand. There's another kind of hospitality, and that is towards non-believers, an evangelistic type hospitality. In the Old Testament, Israel, as they go into the land, how are they supposed to treat the sojourners, the people who are foreigners? They're supposed to do what when they come into the land? Welcome them, love them, right? They're to treat them no different than they would other people, right? Treat them with justice and compassion. And in a sense, there's this kind of welcoming nature because it's expressing something about God's nature. That if they would come and they would bow the knee to the God of Israel, this God would welcome them as well. Now, they can't understand that like two believers are going to understand the relationship, but still expressing that kind of hospitality towards somebody who's outside of the faith is still a picture of something. Rather than a picture of a mutual relationship that we both understand, it's an invitation to come and experience God's welcome. So hospitality can, now they're going to overlap, right? There's a lot of similarities, but I do think it's important we distinguish. One's a picture that both people understand. The other's an invitation to come and see. To come and not just come and experience a meal or come and experience a warm, smiling relationship. It's come and experience something because God is like this. Both of them demonstrate God's character to those who are within our proximity. I'll stop there. Any questions, comments?
Yeah, well, what are the two kinds again?
One is believer to believer. Okay. It's going to be a family-like relationship where both get it. And the other one is going to be an evangelistic type where you knowing God's welcome spiritually, you're now manifesting that to somebody and saying, you can be welcomed by God like this because I've been welcomed by God like this. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay, so, oh my goodness, this is so great. So I just moved into an apartment and I put all my pictures and like all my things up, and this gal came over who's struggling with fully surrendering to God. And she, you know, people come in and go, God, your place is so warm and inviting. They use that word. Mm-hmm. And I just am like, oh, it's my things. But I'm wondering of a comment maybe to make that's more evangelistic to say, yes, God has provided me with warmth and joy in these things to feel good, like to give my thanks to God. I'm like,
yeah.
Because that's what you're saying. You're coming in and you're feeling this. It's not me. It's God working.
Yeah.
To have this home that's.
Yeah. Warm. Yeah. I think first it's okay to say, thank you. Like, oh, I appreciate that.
But yeah,
and then turn it to God. Welcoming God, and I want my home to be an expression of that. I think you can turn it like that. That'd be a good way to turn it. Yeah, using that as an opportunity would be great. Yeah, that's good. Any questions?
I found it interesting that you mentioned, and maybe it's a generational thing, that you were concerned about your children, how they would act. And
sure.
I'm not going to cry, but I was invited dinner after the ladies' Bible study, and I told everybody. It's a huge evangelistic. I went to this church and somebody invited me to dinner. They didn't care, just come over, or kids. I got there, they said, we have a dog, are you okay? And I'm like, yes, just let the dog come on and love me. But I was concerned.
Sure.
With, like, they invited me over to be with their kids because they don't know what I'm going to say, how I'm going to act. So it's interesting for you that you were concerned as the hospitable person of how my kids are going to act. I'm concerned how they're going to receive me. Do you trust me? Because there's so much craziness out there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And those are worldly.
Yeah.
And as Christians, it shouldn't matter.
Yeah. That's good. But there are real struggles that I think both sides have. And it's good to just acknowledge them. And it's a reality. And just praying that
the
Lord.
Having the crystal out, having everything to be perfect before you. It doesn't have to be crystal, but to have a perfect situation.
Sure.
The world's like, well, let's just go to dinner out at a restaurant.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because they think their house or they're not good enough to have somebody over.
Sure. Yeah.
Or even.
And it's okay. I mean, it's okay for Christians to do hospitality in a restaurant. Like, that's okay, you know? But it's also okay to open your home. Any questions on kind of just thinking about those two categories? Are those helpful, you think? I hope they're helpful. Mm-hmm. All right, so we're going to focus now kind of more on the second one, Christian hospitality to non-Christians, but also we're going to bring in the fact that these two overlap. They should overlap. So point two, the value of hospitality. First thing, I think when we do evangelistic hospitality, there is a value in that it helps people feel like they're guests rather than projects. Have you ever been in a church where they almost treat evangelism like people are projects? Like when you meet somebody, you got to get through this list of questions, get to the gospel, and your whole relationship with them is revolving only around being able to do that. and not only caring, not also caring for them as people. Part of caring them for people is going to be sharing the gospel. Part of caring for them as people is going to be, we want to have these conversations. But how do you think the unbeliever is going to feel if all it is, hey, what's your name? Oh, hey, can I talk to you about this? And I got to do this, 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 and this.
Like you're shoving it down there.
I mean, I was raised in a church where I was a new believer, and I was really struggling with fear of man and evangelism, and I don't want people to think I'm weird, because that's how I perceived Christians until I became a Christian, was this is kind of strange. So how do I do this? And our pastor at the time told me, well, Kurt Warner was a big name back then. He's a Christian. You should tell them your favorite football team is his football team, so that you can be like, and he's a Christian. And I was like, but I don't like his football team. Just use it. Use that anyways. And I was like, what are we doing? Like,
right.
What kind of manipulation is this? People, if we just treat people like they're a project, they're not going to want to hear what we actually have to say. Hospitality is not the only way we can make people not feel like projects. But when we do biblical hospitality, it can help people actually feel like we care about them. They're actually people that are valuable to us. They're relationships that we want to develop with them because they're people. When you have somebody over, or when you take somebody out to lunch, or when you extend a welcome to a coworker who's new at your job, there's an opportunity for a relationship rather than just, I got to get through my spiel and see how you react. So how do you think hospitality, let's just get into some specifics. How do you think it can help people feel like they're a guest, like they're a valued person rather than just a project? What are some ways you think practically fleshes out?
I think last time we talked about asking them about what their like biblical history is, like if they grew up in church or not.
Yeah.
Some things that are like painful to them in life, like what are they going through, so you
yeah.
can help them like work through those things.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just kind of digging into their life, getting to know them as a person. Yeah.
What Zach did. Are you okay? You sound a little
yeah.
down or sad or, you know.
Yeah.
Asking those probing questions without trying to get too personal.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. Yeah. Yeah. Anything else? How we can make people feel like guests rather than just a project, just another person that we can get a little notch in our belt because we shared the gospel with them.
When it's evident that you take delight in serving them or being around them, it really builds friendships.
Yeah.
Like, it's my delight to like serve you.
Yeah.
It comes in the living room. So we can just talk about go to this restaurant together because I'd love to just hang out with you. I hear they have something good.
Yeah.
You know, like something just like normal to like share or serve them.
Yeah.
It can be a way to make them actually feel like a meaningful person in
yeah.
your life because they should be.
Yeah. I found something not in the church, but in this area, people establish relationships because they have an agenda.
Yeah.
They want something from you, or they want you to do something, you know? It's going to be very stark for somebody, especially in this area, if you say, can we just get together? And you know, they're waiting for the ask, right? What are they going to ask? What do they want? And you just want to know them. You just want to talk to them. It can help a lot more in a hospitable setting to do that. Here, I have to ask, and it's a Jesus ask. Not saying, like, we're talking about hospitality and evangelism, so we should be sharing the gospel. If we're not sharing the gospel, we're just doing this friendship thing, which is not evangelism. We need the gospel to be articulated and verbalized. We need boldness to do that. We also have to look at people as people and get into their lives. So the first thing, I think hospitality and evangelism go hand in glove because it helps that. People feel more welcomed rather than just, here comes the agenda. Second thing, I think it provides opportunities for full and ongoing conversations. Should you share the gospel with somebody that you just meet on the street and you don't have the opportunity for a relationship with?
Yes.
Yes. I just want to be clear on that. Yes, you should do that. Should you share the gospel with a coworker that would not come to the house?
Yes.
Should you share the gospel with, you know, somebody us and a conversation comes up and you will never see them again?
Yes.
We praise the Lord anytime the gospel can be shared, right? And it should be shared in those kinds of settings. There is, I think, just natural limitations with those kind of things, though, right? You have only so much time with somebody on a bus to get into a conversation, right? You can share the gospel faithfully, and the Lord can use that to save people. Most of the time, how do people hear the gospel? Is it, I don't want to say the Lord doesn't do this, so just to be clear. But is it normally, I had a conversation for 5 minutes, somebody heard it, and how can I believe, what must I do to be saved? That happens. Praise the Lord. We should take every opportunity when those things arise. We should take every opportunity when those things arise. The normal means, it seems, that God uses our evangelism is in the context of ongoing relationships. Hospitality can provide a lane for that. I have coworkers. You just can't get into a whole lot, at least in the jobs I've worked, because you're moving all the time and you have things to get done. And I mean, it's not a whole lot of time always to stand around and talk. What happens if I can go, hey, what are you doing for lunch today? Would you like to grab lunch at the restaurant? Or would you like, you know, at the break room, would you sit with me? And just this kind of welcoming posture can open up a door for a conversation. Then hopefully, maybe the next week we can have more of that. And the next week, or a neighbor that we can say, hey, would you like to come over for dinner? We can get to know them and hopefully continue to have them over. Hospitality can provide the means for a full conversation. We can get into more than just, I only have 5 minutes, let me get into the truth of the gospel. It can explore what are they struggling with, what questions, what things are hanging them up. And we can have that, and it can be ongoing. It can be, hey, let's follow up on that. You have to get going, let's follow. Would you be willing to have this conversation more and explore this more? Would you be willing to read a book of the Bible with me and have us talk more? Hospitality can provide that kind of open door to a relationship that is going to be able to discuss these things. Thoughts on that?
I'm thinking about my friend's husband. I think it's building the trust. Because he likes me because of his wife, but he also, like, it's weird, like, he wants to hang out with all of us. But there's a trust factor.
Yeah.
And so we can just start sharing Christ. You know, if the person is open from the Holy Spirit, but to me, they have to trust us. That we're not going to judge and, you know, X, Y, Z. But that's what I found. And then it's pivoting from hospitality, trust, to evangelism.
Yeah. And I think it's important in those initial meetings of welcoming people that we don't even know that well into our home to not hide our faith. Like, we're going to pray before we eat. We're going to, like, we're Christians. We're going to do Christian things. So it's not a surprise when we do want to talk about the gospel. So, yes?
So this is kind of more from letter A, but I think one of the things that could help us remember to keep them less as projects and people is to let them serve us too. Because we often become views that we're the great white savior coming in to save these people.
Yeah.
And, you know, they have gifts that they can share with us. And
yeah.
We need to acknowledge that and let them serve us. And that's, I think, really hard for Christians to do when we think we're here to serve them. So.
Yeah. One thing that's we both, my wife and I, fight is like letting people help. You know? So, like, when the meal's over, we just want them to feel completely at ease. Like, you don't have to do anything, but people want to do the dishes. And we're like, no, you don't have to do them. Like, we want to do the dishes. And we've gotten to the point now where we're like, okay. Like, if you want to help, go ahead. Like, but people are blessed when they can serve back. And that can help a ton. Well, guess what? I can dry while you do the dishes, and we can continue to have a conversation, and you're actually feeling like there's a relationship, not just like we're going to do everything for you. And but that was hard for us at first. We're like, no, this is not hospitable. You don't do dishes in our house. Like, yeah, it's a very good point. Thank you.
I'm not sure if this is exactly along the same lines as that idea, but it's just interesting to remember how Jesus is, he is served at the houses of people that he has more than one
Christian,
like Matthew and Zacchaeus.
Yeah.
Probably others.
Yeah. That's a good point. In the Bible. Very good. Yeah, it's good. Let us see. We've said this already, but combining hospitality and evangelism helps demonstrate God's welcoming character. There, we are saying something without words. Hospitable. We're saying this is not just this is who God is. He's a welcoming God. We're not just hospitable people because we're nice, moralistic, you know, people. We're hospitable because God has welcomed us. God has brought strangers to himself. God has opened the door through Christ for a relationship with himself, and he's brought us in. We're bringing you in, not just because we're trying to be nice people. We're bringing you in because it says something about our God. It says something about the gospel we believe. It says something about our faith. We welcome others. Again, that can be in our homes. That can be the new person at work that nobody's talking to, and you just walk up and, hey, can we? What? Where'd you come from? Some people might find that nosy, but we're not trying to be nosy. We're trying to be welcoming because God is welcoming. All right, so we're going to spend most of our time today on number 3, how to use hospitality in evangelism. How are we doing on time? We got about 15 minutes. All right, so letter A. This one is in most conversations about evangelism because it needs to be in most conversations about evangelism. Pray. That is not just a cliche. Like, we need to pray. Our evangelism needs to be preceded by prayer. While we're trying to evangelize, we need to somehow figure out how to talk and pray at the same time because we need the Lord's help. We need to, after evangelism, pray. Prayer needs to bathe our evangelism because we have a theology that says salvation is of the Lord. It is a work of the Lord. It is not a work of the flesh. We need to practically demonstrate we believe that by desperately leaning on the Lord in prayer. We need to pray for opportunities at work. Pray for opportunities in our neighborhoods. I'll give you an example. When we first moved here, we lived in a townhouse with a courtyard. And our first Sunday here was the first Sunday of the first evangelism class. And we heard about this. And I was like fired up. And I had my little card with 3 names to fill out. And I was like, I don't know anybody in D.C. So I'm going to find... Then we saw a guy in the courtyard with his daughter. And I was like, I need an excuse to go outside. So I was like, hey, kids, let's go play. And I went out there and I met Rob and I started praying, like fervently praying every day, Lord, let me have an opportunity with Rob. Rob and I never talked again. But I kept praying, like, Lord, if not him, open a door with somebody in our courtyard. And then lo and behold, my daughter's out playing and she's like, hey, Daddy, there's this guy over here. I just invited him to church. And I was like, oh, okay. So they started coming to church. And we started having them over to our house. That was not something that happened because I did anything. That was the Lord answering prayers. We need to pray. Prayer. So how does prayer look for you? If you are somebody that's actively looking for opportunities in evangelism, how is that looking for you? Has anyone got kind of best practices for prayer that you find helpful when you're trying to just pray for evangelism opportunities? Does anyone use those cards? I don't know if we have any here. Where it's here's three names. Pray for. We got one right here. An example right here. So there's three names. I put three names down and like, Lord, give me an opportunity with this person. Lord, give me an opportunity with this person. If you have an opportunity, Lord, use that in their life. Lord, save them. Draw them to yourself. I found those very helpful. Using them as bookmarks when I'm reading, I open a book and I see three names and I'm like, I haven't prayed for them yet, so let me pray. Anything else that you do that might be helpful evangelistically? Zach?
I have a couple things I've done in the past. Like, there have been seasons in my life where I've like set aside a different day every week to pray for something different and have like people who don't know the Lord or missions on like a particular day,
yeah.
And then spend like the majority of my time praying that day for that, so you just don't forget it every week.
Yeah.
You know, the same topic comes around again and again and again.
Yeah.
And the second thing was like something I'm trying just recently is like be more forward about like asking neighbors and coworkers if I can pray for you. So I ask me if I can pray for her, and then actually pray for her later, because that will lead to me praying like not only for her dad, who's, you know, in senior care right now, but also praying for the Lord to save Mimi, and that will bring that more consistently. So actually like write that down somewhere. Because if I tell her I'm going to pray for you and then I don't, I'm lying to Mimi,
yeah.
You know? And yeah. So I should actually, like, I think that will help. And if they say yes, then I need to make a time to do that and actually pray for them. And then I can pray for their salvation, too.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, we should be asking people we can pray for and actually praying for them. That's good. Anything else? So I have kind of three things that I've found I need to pray for. I need to A, pray for opportunities. Like, Lord, give me an open door. Sometimes he opens doors I'm not expecting, and the ones I've been praying for, he doesn't open. Like, my neighbor, like, this is the guy. I've been praying, this is the guy, and he wants to talk to me, and we never connect again, but he opens a door somewhere else. So pray for open doors. Second thing I pray for is that the Lord would help me see when there is an open door. Because sometimes I can be like, Lord, open the door. He opens the door and I ignore it. And after, I'm like, oh, I could have said something back there. Like, so Lord, open a door. Second thing, Lord, when you do open a door, help me to see it. Like, help me understand that you're opening the door here. And then the third thing I need to pray for is boldness to actually speak. Because there are times when I pray for an open door, I see the open door, and the fear of man paralyzes me, and I'm like, I don't want to say anything because he'll think I'm weird. I don't want to say anything because fill in the blank. I pray for open door, open eyes to see the open door, and then an open mouth to actually proclaim what I know to be true. So, pray for opportunities. Second thing, and this is where I think kind of those two types of hospitality overlap, is include other members in your hospitality. How can that help? You're thinking about evangelism, and you, let's say it is when somebody comes to your house. How can it help having another member or family come over so we can just gang up on them, right?
Maybe they see that that's how we...
I think that's a phenomenal point.
I don't know that. Just for me myself, right? First dinner that I went to, we prayed together, we sang together, and we ate together, and we laughed together, and we talked about regular life, but it was mostly about people's testimonies, praying for each other, and that's something that I hadn't experienced to that level before. Obviously, if I had people like, yeah, I'm gonna pray for you, right? And you don't know if they are or not, or I've had people actually pray with me, but I didn't feel like I felt when we were all together. And so when I'm together with you guys, I feel strongest. And so I think that helps me. Like how Zach said to, so Karen would be like, how can I pray for you? And then now that's caused me to ask people, how can I pray for you? So it's kind of like a domino effect.
Yeah.
And then to go off of what you said also, that even if it's my house and my event or whatever, that it might not be me that has that open door. It might be someone else that opens that door.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is excellent. That's money right there. So think about this. When you bring an unbeliever into a setting where there is Christian interaction, it is strange. But it speaks so loud. Like the kind of unity and love we should have with one another, the kind of conversations we have are just going to be different than things that they're going to have somewhere else. And that's not evangelism, right? That's Christian community, but that's going to open up doors for, why do you guys act like this? What is this? That is an open door for the gospel.
Oh, you just said it.
Sorry. What else? Including something else you said I want to piggyback off on. If you have somebody in your home, or if you're somebody that goes over to somebody else's house when there's unbelievers, it's not just you that has to have the conversation. So the neighbor that my daughter invited to church, the first time we had his family over, we had the Geikemas and then Nathan Harms. I invited the Geikemas because this guy was in the military, and I know Joey's in the military. And guess what? They hit it off in a way that I didn't know anything about the military. So they hit it off. Nathan started asking questions about like his background, his like religious background. All of those were conversations I didn't even like participate in. I was doing stuff, and they were able to just connect in ways I couldn't. So having other members that are believe the same gospel, there can be connections made that are just something that you may not have the same background. You may not be able to connect over this. You may not like the same sports. You may not like sports at all. And just other people have different backgrounds and gifts and interests that the Lord can use to make connections. There are families here that will be like, hey, we're having our neighbors over, and they come from a Catholic background, and they know that I was saved out of Catholicism, and they're like, we're not asking you to come and just like beat up Catholics. We're asking you to come, and you can be like, I was a Catholic too, and maybe that will. So just thinking about things like that, you don't have to Lone Ranger evangelism or hospitality and evangelism. We have a body for a reason, and evangelism can be a team effort, a family effort. I think so. Brett Lewis used to be Nathan. Greg Colon, Andrew Hobold lived together, and I think they model this very well. They will have a ton of people from the church over, and there will be a ton of people that I'm like, who are these people? And they're like, oh, they're people I met at my job. And it's like, this is wonderful. They're seeing Christian community, Christian interaction, and they're coming into that, and we're able to interact, and it's a wonderful thing. So don't be afraid to include other people from the church when you're being hospitable. Third thing, don't be afraid of an imperfect house. Like, don't think, well, if my dishes aren't all done, if my vacuum isn't perfectly my rug isn't perfectly vacuumed, and like, that is a thing for us, right? That's like an anxiety-inducing thing. My house isn't perfect. The Lord uses you just having a normal house just as much as if your house is perfectly spotless. What might that do for people if they come in your house and not just
home because their own house?
Ah. Hey, these are normal people. I see a hand back there.
That was basically.
Yes, that's good.
It's a home, not a house.
Yeah.
I think it's the house. I think the home word that's mentioned is hospitality.
Yeah.
Because I go to some friend's house and it's hard, like it's perfect.
Yeah.
Every time I go in, oh, here, we got to get the coaster out. We got to put the dishes away. Yeah. We got to sweep. It's the Martha versus Mary. Yeah. And it's like it drives me nuts. And I, you know, I've had enough parties over there. But that's not how heaven's going to be.
Yeah.
You know, we will have to have the perfection. When I go into a perfect house, it makes me feel like I'm not perfect. I'm not good enough to be here.
There is something disalarming about just people being able to come in, and it is what it is. I'll give you an example. So Kate and I, 10 years ago, planted a church, and it was in an inner city, and one of our members lived in a government project, had a studio apartment, was what you might expect about a studio apartment in a government project. And rather than him worrying about how that was going to be perceived, he would open his house every Sunday night to any members who wanted to come over. The place would be jam-packed with like people you couldn't even like find a place to sit. But then he would start opening his house up during the week to anybody who lived in the project. And he's like, hey, I have like 15 people, and they said they're willing to do a Bible study. And I was like, okay. So then we started a Bible study in his imperfect apartment. And as a result, there was probably 15 people that became members of our church, because this guy did not care about what people thought about whether his house met all kinds of standards, and just opened his home as it was. The Lord can use an open door regardless of if everything is swept, if everything is arranged perfectly. It's okay if you want to have a clean house. I'm not saying you should feel guilty if you're like, I want to clean the house before people come over. But just know that you don't want to put standards on yourself that nobody else has in their own home. Like, just welcome people. Last thing, and then we'll just open it up for a conversation, is let members bring unbelievers when you have them over. Like, it's okay if somebody calls you and is like, hey, I know I said I'd come over, but I have this coworker that asked if I could hang out. Can I bring them? Guess what? That might be a step of faith for you, right? But it'd be something to pray about, like, Lord, help me to welcome the stranger. So we had in New York, we had a friend of ours. We were doing a co-birthday party for both of our kids, and he called me. He goes, hey, this guy just got stranded on the side of the road. I met him. I helped him change his tire. Can I bring him to the birthday party? And I was like, oh, sure. Well, he came, and we prayed, we talked about scripture, and this guy started asking questions like, wait, you guys are talking about the Bible. What is this about? And just an opportunity. The guy did not keep coming to church. The guy, I don't know that he ever believed, but it was an opportunity where we were able to just have some stranger in our house that somebody else brought, and the gospel was able to be shared. So that's something to consider. If somebody's like, hey, this coworker of mine, this neighbor of mine wants to hang out tonight, can we bring them? That's an opportunity to extend the welcome of Christ to a stranger. All right, any questions, comments, disagreements, further clarification?
I wanted to thank whoever said to let them serve us too, because I really needed that reminder.
Yeah, that was very good. Thank you.
I was just going to say, like, with your example, it just makes me think of, like, planting, watering, cultivating. And the Spirit is the one who works in that. And we're to be faithful. And knowing that the Spirit is at work. And if and when He is willing to bring that to full fruition. So that gentleman who had tires, that may have been that initial seed.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's been planted before. And that there's a little bit of watering going on, unbeknownst to us.
Yep.
We don't know.
Yeah.
That's the Spirit's work.
Yeah.
That's His job.
Yeah, and that's where like prayer helps us rest in that. Like, Lord, maybe we didn't see Him believe, but maybe 2 years from now He's like, those people were strange. Like, they let me come. Not only did He help me with my tire, but these other people let me come to their house, and then they were talking about this stuff that what was that? And maybe the Lord brings another Christian, and let me tell you what that was about. Like, that Christ is a welcoming Savior who dies for sinners like you, and if you repent, He'll welcome you into His family as a son. Oh. Like, so none of this rises and falls on us. It's a work of the Lord. We just want to be a faithful, useful vessel for Him to work. And hospitality is not the only means of evangelism, but it is a means that God can use to open doors for us to share our faith. Just to be clear, like, this is something that I'm passionate about, but this is not the only thing you can do in evangelism. I don't want you to feel like if you're not hospitable, you are a failure in evangelism. You can be a faithful Christian who struggles in this area and still share the gospel. But this is an area the Lord can use mightily if we by faith extend the welcome of Christ to others. So
I think it's sweet of the Lord too, because we are in hospitality extending Christ's welcome, but then in Matthew 25 he says you're actually welcoming me as you welcome the stranger. So we have an opportunity to extend it to other believers, but then also to extend it as if we're welcoming Christ, because he says that's what we're doing.
Yeah. That's good. Yeah.
I have a question, though.
Yeah.
I'm struggling with this recently where, you know, I'm sharing that I'm being baptized and everyone seems to be, like, supportive, generally speaking. But for the friends who, like, for example, I've been wanting to have something after Thanksgiving, like Friendsgiving, but, like, after, so people can have their time with their family and then still be able to come. And so I, like, told a friend, you know, I want to do this. Do you think you'll be available? And they were like, yeah, like, who else did you think you wanted to come? And I was like, well, I was going to invite some people from church. And then all of a sudden they're turned off by it. Should I, like, not mention it? Then I feel like I'm manipulating once they get there. Do you know what I mean? Like, how would you maybe handle that if they're turned off by your mentioning of that there might be people from church there?
That's a good question.
I'm going to jump in real quick. They asked you who's coming.
Well, meaning, like, oh, of our friend group. They're thinking just this just this one group of friends, right? And they're like, yeah, or whatever. Where I'm like, or even I'll say, yeah, I'm going to have some church friends over. I'd love for you to come over. And they're like, oh, I have this thing. And I know there's not a thing.
I think it's, if you already can tell they're hesitant, I think it's good to be upfront.
Yeah.
I think it's okay to just keep asking. Like, not annoyingly, but like, hey, I'm having, just want you to know you're always welcome. I'm having friends over from church, but you're always, I want you to know that door is always open. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to pressure you, but, like, we would love to have you.
Yeah.
I think you have to, if you know the person well and have the kind of relationship, it's okay if that kind of happens over and over for you to say, hey, I'm not trying to, like, get in your business, but is there something that you're concerned about, or, like, why is it?
Yeah.
That might be an open door. But I definitely think if you know already there's hesitancy, that you should be up for it. But also just extend the welcome and let them know, like, that door's always open. If I'm having a meal and there's people from our church over, you're always welcome.
Even this morning, a friend of mine was like, yeah, I'm sure I'll make it to the baptism. And I'm like, okay. He's like, I'm like, if you need to find me, I'm normally in the front. I do have to, you know, meet first.
Yeah.
But then I'm like, I'll be down there and try to gather everyone together so they feel comfortable that everyone who's with me is sitting together. You know how people can be, but going to a big place where they don't have anyone, except maybe one person.
Yep.
And so he's like, yeah. I'm like, normally I'm in the front, like first four or five rows. And he's like, yeah, I'll probably sit in the back. And I was like, well, you won't be able to see much. So, you know, maybe, you know, find, you know, this person, or, you know, my parents are going to be there. I know you met my dad before. Like, try, if I'm not there yet.
Yeah.
But, like, text me when you get here and I'll come find you.
Yeah.
You know, but don't be afraid. Like, someone's going to call on you to answer some question.
Sure.
This is just
to
hear, you know, just to listen.
And that's an opportunity where by faith we can trust that other members are going to see that person and welcome them, you know. Which is, I guess, my last plug will be, within the context of our local gathering, look for people who are standing and awkwardly by themselves. That's probably a visitor that we have an opportunity to say, hi, my name's Bill. Is this your first time? And if they say, I've been here for 4 months, you can say, I'm sorry, I haven't met you yet, and start a conversation. So, yeah, look for ways to be hospitable even here at Delray Baptist Church Sunday morning gathering. We have more and more people coming. And there are more and more people that potentially can fall through the cracks and not be welcome. So with that, I'm going to pray. Father, thank you for an opportunity to be used by you for your kingdom. Father, as we think about evangelism, help us to faithfully proclaim the gospel. And Father, we pray that you would show us ways that we can use hospitality as a means to share the gospel, as an open door for the gospel. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.